is what we find there. Go ahead and open your Bibles to John 15 if you have a Bible there with you. If you don't have your own, there's a Bible in the pew in front of you, or you can follow along in the text. We're picking up where Pastor Corey left off last week. He preached through the first 8 verses. Now we're in verse 9 through 17. We're reminded here that Jesus is in his discourse with the disciples in the upper room. The Gospel of John, chapters 13 through 17, record this. So we're smack dab here in the middle of this discourse as they're sharing a meal, their last night together. Jesus is imparting teaching to them. He's encouraged them to remain in him. Pastor Corey said to abide in him, to live in the light and the love of Jesus. As he leaves them, he says, you must be grafted on, you must be connected to the vine. And then he says to us here today, follow my commands. To abide or to remain in God means that we are following his commands, his teachings of us. And what is his command or those commands? Look at verses 12 and 13. And actually at the very end, verse 17 as well, Jesus says the same. He says, my command is this, love. Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And Jesus is going to do that exact same thing. And in Matthew chapter 22, again, the words of Jesus encapsulates or sums up all of the law and prophets. We could say all of the commands of God in these commands. Jesus replied when he's asked, what's the greatest command? He said, love. Again, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And then these are pretty astounding words here. Jesus says, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. This is a radical statement in the first century. You see, the Jews, especially the Pharisees, who were asking Jesus this question, what's the greatest of all the commandments? When Jesus says, all of the law and all of the prophets, that's all of the teaching of Israel, is found in these two simple in the sense that they're easy to hear, but they're very difficult to do, commands. Love God and love each other. And so when we read the encouragement of Jesus, or we hear that encouragement from Jesus or Paul or any of the other gospel or epistle writers, New Testament writers, our ears should go directly to this commandment. Love God and love each other. And Jesus says, if we do this, then we will receive the following promises. Go ahead and look at your text. Jesus, in this text, has several if-then statements. Starting in verse 10, Jesus says, if you keep my commands. And what commands are those? Love God and love each other. Because all of the other commands that God has given us hang on these two. And so if we love God and love each other by investing ourselves in following the commands that God has given us, then, he says, the then is implied, you won't see it in this text, but it's implied, then you will remain in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commands and remained in his love. Think about this. Jesus was committed to following the commands of the Father. And in doing so, Jesus says, I remain in him. And so we too, as we follow his commands, will remain or abide, have our life and our breath and our being and our meaning in Christ Jesus. And one commentator says that when we do this, when we remain in love and in the abiding of God by following his commands, four things happen. First, We find ourselves rejoicing in love's reality. They say that love is not really tangible. It's just a feeling. But I would argue against that. I think love is tangible. I think you can feel it. I think we do experience love. And we do experience the love of God. Sometimes it comes through other people. And we rejoice in the gift of their words or their presence or a hug. Sometimes it comes in the gift of creation. Wow, what a beautiful morning this day is. You know, I walk all of, 50 feet from my house. But just taking in that breath, seeing the sunrise is such a gift. And we rejoice in the reality of the love of God. We also are depending on love's support. Remaining or abiding in Christ reminds us that we are humble before God. We are dependent upon Him. We have to receive from Him. By remaining in the love of God, by following His commands, we also do nothing to grieve it. You know, there are things in our lives that we practice, habits, those things that we do or say or even think, that sometimes grieve the love of God. But we want to instead engage, number four, in that which delights the lover. Our opening hymn reminds us that we sing out this joyful noise to God because He loves us. And so, friends, when we think about following the commands of God, God is not a killjoy. When He says love Him and love each other, He wants us to experience the joy of life that transcends happiness and fun. It's much more than those things. Number two, He says here, if you keep my commands, then your joy may be complete. In fact, verse 11, I have told you this. What has He told us? He has told us to follow His commands by loving God and loving each other. I have told you this so that, here's the purpose, so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. I want you to do an experiment this week. Find three people in your life, not in your home. Three people in your life outside your home, at work or at school, acquaintance or a friend, and ask them, what's the most important thing to you in life? What's the most important thing? Or what are you looking for in life? I think they're going to say something like, well, family. Some may say God, but most will at least allude to this concept that they want to live life with joy and peace and contentment and tranquility. In fact, I believe that's what the world is seeking after, those things. But they do it in wrong ways. One country artist said that the world was looking for love in all the wrong places. You know, that's a pretty deeply theological concept. Who knew? Country music. But you see, we're looking for the love that God has for us in other things. Some of us throw ourselves into work, and we think that's where we're going to find this joy and peace and love and contentment. Some of us throw ourselves into our sports or our hobbies. Some of us throw ourselves into parties or drinking or other addictions. But this joy that we're looking for and seeking, this fun, if you will, is only found in Christ Jesus. Here's the irony. When we read these verses, especially verse 11, when Jesus reminds us that He's told us these things so that His joy may be in us and that we may have joy complete, that means perfect also, lacking nothing. The irony here is that joy comes by being obedient and faithful to the commands of God. That's a radical understanding of the commandments of God. It's a different understanding than the world would ascribe to following his commands. The world would say, well, the commands, the thou shalt nots, are put up before us so that we live kind of a boring, mundane, slow, not fun lives. But no, in fact, Jesus says, the commands are put before you that you might have perfect joy. Lastly, if we then commit ourselves to keeping God's commands, especially to love him and to love each other, on which all the other commands hang, then our position, our status with God changes. You hear these words in verses 14 and 15? Jesus says, "You are my friends." Amazing. If what? If you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. Think about this statement for a minute. If you are in Christ Jesus, if you are following his commands, loving God and loving others around you, you are no longer a servant, but instead a friend of Jesus Christ. That's an astounding statement. Have you met my friend Jesus? This is my friend and my God and the creator of the universe. We know the master's business. We know that we are to proclaim and preach and teach the advancement of the kingdom of God. We know that our friend Jesus went to the cross and gave his life that we might live. You see, following the commands of Jesus, it isn't a drudgery. It doesn't lead us into the doldrums. It's not a joy killer. In fact, it brings joy. It helps us to remain in the love that God has for us through Jesus Christ. And it reminds us that positionally we have changed. We are friends of the Savior of the universe. And so I give thanks to my mom. I'm going to FaceTime with her today. Isn't that amazing? We will be able to see each other on phone video. And I will be able to say to her, "Mom, happy Mother's Day." And then give her a word of thanks and encouragement. Thank you for teaching me how to camp and enjoy the outdoors. Thanks for teaching me how to live a life of joy and love. Thanks for teaching me how to eat. But most of all, Mom, thank you for the gift of teaching me by your words, but most of all, by your actions, to love and serve and obey the commands of God. So I'm going to close with my mom's favorite hymn. Is that okay? I'm not going to sing it because that would not be okay. Trust me on that one. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrow share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. Blessed Savior, thou hast promised, thou wilt all our burdens bear. May we ever, Lord, be bringing all to thee in earnest prayer. Soon in glory bright, unclouded, there will be no need for prayer. Rapture, praise, and endless worship will be our sweet portion there. Amen.